Hi, I'm Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting.
And this is Success Unlocked Season 1. Let us explain.
So our mission here at Thanks for Visiting is to unite and equip short-term rental hosts to create unique and safe spaces-turned businesses, to strengthen guest and community trust so we can ensure the longevity and profitability of independent hosts. And of course, to bring more host voices to the forefront.
It's one thing to hear our perspective on short-term rental business building strategies, but we wanted to bring more value to you by introducing other incredible hosts to the Thanks for Visiting stage.
So we are excited to present to you this season of Success Unlocked, where our Hosting Business Mastery Membership coaches will discuss operations, social media, unique builds, co-hosting strategies, and so much more.
Today's show, The Co-Hosting Confidential, is hosted by Amy Corbett. She is the co-founder of All Belong Co., a growing collective of 30-plus short-term rentals in four states, including her very own train caboose. Amy has hosted more than 5,000 guests since 2019.
A self-described accidental entrepreneur, her properties have been featured in multiple publications. And she's making such an impact on our community. Her small city of Lynchburg, Virginia, chose Amy's family as brand ambassadors for the city's rebranding campaign in 2022. Let's get to today's episode.
Hey, this is Amy, and we are back with a very special guest who happens to be dear to me and has helped me so much in my co-hosting business, Whitney Delaney. We are so glad to have you here.
Hi, thank you. Great to be here.
So, Whitney, if you can tell us a little bit about yourself, like give us an overview of what you do and how you got into it.
Absolutely. I am an SEO and web designer. And I actually got into it because I worked with a nonprofit here in town, and I was like rebranding and doing their marketing because that was kind of my thing out of college. And we got this awesome website and no one could find it. So it was it was really cool. The nonprofit offered adventure trips for any inner city kids. And to pay for that, we decided we would offer these trips to local families. And there's nothing similar in the area. So it was like not really any competition, but you really couldn't find it. And it's a very adventurous area. Like there's lots of people who wanted that. And so that began my deep dive into like, how do you make your site findable in Google? And so, yeah, that's where I started. And I kept in contact with the guy who built our website, and he ended up bringing me on to optimize their website and their clients' websites. And yeah, it just took off from there.
Just kept going from there.
Yeah.
Can you give us, so when we say SEO, some of the listeners may not know what that is. Why don't you give us a little definition?
Yeah, absolutely. So SEO stands for search engine optimization. And basically we're just making your website super friendly, like Google friendly, so they can understand it really well. And they know when to recommend it to people who are searching for something relevant to it.
And ideally, we want that visibility, right? We want it to show up on the first page. We don't want people, having to dig for what we're offering.
Right, right. Yes. So making it easier for people to find your website, that's really what SEO is all about.
And is SEO just about websites, or does this also somehow apply to social media, or what are we talking about?
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, I think a lot of the social media platforms have really taken notes from Google's playbook and can use their search and the way they recommend things to be able to offer, you know, better services to their own clients. And so you can definitely like still search through Instagram or any of the other social media outlets. And they're using a lot of the same tactics that Google does when you search through Google. Pinterest is like, it is a search engine. It's also social media, but it's own search engine. YouTube is a search engine. So some of like these apps that we use and we consider more social are actually search engines as well. And really that's where like a lot of keywords come into play, like thinking, what would my client be searching? And then trying to use that in like the title of maybe your post or hashtags and stuff like that. So yeah, keywords and some of that really does come into play. Also, another good example of like how you can optimize your site for search is something called alt text. And that's when you just provide a brief description to Google or Instagram or any search engine you're using of what is in the picture, and also like kind of how it's relevant. Because you know, a lot of those search engines can kind of tell what's in the picture, but they don't know why it's relevant to you, why it's important to your audience. And so you get to put in what's called alt text, and it's just a little sentence description about what the picture is about. And so that helps all of these search engines better understand the content. And then it also makes your website or your social media more accessible for people who may be using screen readers and assistive technologies. So that's just an example of like one small aspect of SEO, but just trying to like, I don't know, explain it a little more.
Yeah. You are a wealth of information, and some of that will go over our listeners' heads, just like it went over mine. I have learned so much from you, but what SEO mistakes do you see hosts in particular or co-hosts make? Or small businesses, because I know you work with all different kinds of businesses. What mistakes are we making?
Oh, good question. So probably the biggest one is just not really reading through your headings and making sure that they are really clear and have like really meaty words that will connect with your audience and they will understand. Everyone skims nowadays. So like, we'll just kind of skim through and scroll like crazy. And so those headings are really important. And a lot of times people won't put descriptive words in them and really describe the content of the different sections of their site well in the headings. And you just lose a lot of opportunity when you don't do that. So I would say really focusing on the headings on your website and making sure they are, you're using a lot of the same words like your ideal client is using when they talk to you. Just pull those in, because if they're using those words, then similar clients that you want are probably using those words. But yeah, really focusing on heading and just generally not thinking through the lens of the client. Like, what does a client need to know to feel confident to make a decision? I like to think through that and even ask, like, you can just survey your clients and be like, hey, what do you need to know? Like, how could I serve you better? Or just pay attention to emails and questions you get through your apps, like Airbnb or whatever apps you're using. Like, what questions do you get the most often? How can you maybe serve that up on your website to answer people earlier? And that builds a lot of trust. But also in the back end, it like saves you a lot of time because you don't have to go back and answer these questions a million times. So probably really focusing on the content.
Right. And as you're talking about clients for co-hosting businesses, that would be our homeowners, right? Like that we're trying to either recruit or ones that we already have to show, you know, what services we offer. So what about the term co-host? Like, is that a good word to use, or is that maybe too confusing for Google and the algorithms to understand?
As a client of yours, I actually would not think to search co-host. I would think manager. So like Airbnb manager, short-term rental manager, I would think something more along those lines for the services that you offer. I guess to give everyone a little background, Amy runs my Airbnb and she does an amazing job.
Thank you. Yes, we forgot to share that. Whitney is one of our homeowners. Yes.
Yeah. And it's awesome. But I still, even now, like as one of your clients, don't really think of it, the term co-host, in this way you guys do.
Right.
I definitely would be like, I would think like if I was searching, I'd be like, hey, I need someone to manage my Airbnb. So I'd look for Airbnb management companies, you know, property management, rental management, something along those lines.
I think that's a huge point, because the word co-host, I feel like it's kind of like an Airbnb term that has come into play just recently. But yeah, I don't think, you know, within our industry, we all tend to know what co-hosting is, but you're right. For a homeowner who's just wanting to come to us, something like Airbnb management might be the way to make sure in your keywords, like you said. Are there any more tips you can think of for us to just be more visible with SEO? Like even just some of the basics that, you know, we don't know that, you know.
I think one of my favorite things that I would recommend taking advantage of that a lot of people don't is the Google Business Profile. It's completely free.
Yes.
It gives you tons of visibility. It allows people to leave reviews. It connects to your website, but it allows you to have basically what's called an information panel. So anytime you search like donuts near me, a lot of times you'll see like one restaurant pops up on the side, and that is a Google Business Profile. That's how they get that. And so for your properties, especially if you have several properties in one area, I'd highly recommend creating one of those, because it just gives you a lot more visibility in search, also in like Google Maps. And it helps Google understand you better, because literally they have you fill out a form in a way that they understand it. So it's great. And you can connect it to your website to really verify your website and who you are in your businesses. But that's probably one of the like least utilized tools out there, especially for, I think, Airbnb management companies or short-term rental management companies. And especially for someone like me, like I have a property in town. If I search, you know, Airbnb management, your profile pops up, you know, like, and that's huge because people can see your reviews. People can see exactly what you do, how to get in touch with you, and it links to your website. So it builds a lot of trust right off the bat. That's probably one of those tools that's like super free that everyone should just do.
Right. Yes. Put that on your action, listeners, for sure. Let's kind of shift over and talk a little bit about websites, because I know you were instrumental in helping to create my website. I thought I had built it out, and Whitney came in and, you know, you showed me how much it needed expanding, but not in a bunch of text, like just in clear, like you said, keywords, concise sections. Yeah. So talk to us just in general, what would a good website for a co-hosting business have on it?
Yeah. Well, if you haven't, you should all go check out Amy's website because it's awesome. It's beautiful. A good website. Well, honestly, so there's a lot of SEO stuff, but immediately like your visuals. So having those professional pictures lends so much credibility to like your properties, your design, all of that. What else do you have? Well, it kind of depends. So everyone in your group has the goal of managing multiple Airbnb properties. Is that right?
Most co-hosts, yes, are looking to not just have one or two. I mean, they might want to only have a handful, but a lot of times we're looking, yeah, to recruit new homeowners.
Okay. Well, I can kind of walk you through like how I think of the structure of a site and maybe that'll help. But basically, it's great to identify like what your goals are with the site. Do you want to push people to book stays in your property, or is your main goal right now to bring on more properties? So identify what that first like primary business goal is and go after that first. For your homepage, once again, you'll want to talk about that. You can still, you know, mention like people, your other properties and where people can stay and all that's great. But I highly recommend really focusing on your primary business goal. And then if like Amy kind of had like three services, so we would talk about those three services, but then we actually did have a page dedicated to each of those services so that when people search for a specific service, they could find that and then learn more about her company as a whole and all the services that she offered. So generally, I like to think of a homepage as kind of an index page. It kind of tells you a little bit about all of the things you do and then allowing people to click through to other pages to learn more. And once again, that allows you to give them a really good overview of what you do on your homepage. But then you have these other pages that they can potentially find through search for different terms and more terms. So that ultimately gives more visibility in search. We have like a page dedicated to stays. We have a page dedicated to management, to setup. I'm trying to remember, what was the other one?
Oh gosh, putting me on the spot.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so like design, setup, mm-hmm. consultations, and then hosting. Yeah.
Yeah. So just like all of the different services you want to offer. If you have several different ones, I recommend creating a page for each. But you can't create a page that only has one paragraph on it. You have to really give them information. Like Google needs words to know when to recommend you. So generally shooting like for 5 or 6 sections that helps kind of people walk through your process. So what is it that you do and how does it serve them? How do you do it? Where do you do it? How long does it take? So answering some of those really basic questions throughout your page can be really helpful for your clients, for Google, and ultimately for you, because your clients come to you more informed and on board and ready to go.
Let's back up. When should we create our website? If we want to have a co-hosting business, should we go try to recruit owners first? And then once we have a few owners under our belt, is that when we create a website? Or should we actually think about creating one before we would even begin in order to recruit?
That is a great question. I think it would definitely depend on kind of your owner's strengths and kind of where they are in the process. So if you already have some properties where you have amazing photos, like having a website is fantastic. If you're looking for new managers, also having a website is really helpful or new properties. Because a lot of the time, even if you're just networking and getting out there and trying to like find properties to work with, people are going to search you later and like trying to like validate you online. And so it's nice to have a place where you control all of the information that they find and you can kind of spell out what you offer. And so we like to refer to it a lot, or I always refer to it as like your online business card. So like not everyone's ready for an online storefront right away, but I think it is really helpful to have a very small, I mean, you can start with a 3-page website, but just something that as you are networking, you kind of send people to and they can see some of your work, learn more about it, and just kind of validate that you are who you say you are. So we call that like online business card.
I love that. I've also thought of it as like a landing page for people. You know, they hear about you, but they kind of want to do their research, like you said, and go behind the scenes and see, are you legit? And it's almost like if they look it up and there's no website, you know, it's like, well, I'm not sure about this person. So I really think like even like you said, a small something. Mm-hmm. Thanks for Visiting always talks about having digital real estate as part as part of our business and marketing.
I actually really love that because I always refer to SEO, like owning a home, like you have equity in it. But if you just do ads, it's like renting an apartment. As soon as you stop paying, the apartment is no longer yours.
Right.
And so it's kind of the same thing. You're building equity or you have your own kind of like online property.
Exactly.
That has value and can grow over time. But also like a website can communicate so much about your brand and who you are and just make such a good impression right off the bat. Yeah, it's a wonderful sales tool. So
yeah. And let's kind of keep going on that line with design. Like what is it that a website can communicate even without the words? How do you, when you create a website, how do you help people know like how to bring their values like onto a screen?
Right. That's a fight. But I've worked with a couple of clients. I worked with this one and it was a winery. And so the website is very like calm and like very easy to navigate and simple. There's a lot of white space, a lot of breathing room. And it's just very easy to navigate and simple. And then I worked with this other client who I absolutely love, who has like this wild personality. And so we got to show that on her site. Like she has like these fun words over every picture. It's so much fun to like communicate her personality and try and bring that out. And that attracts so many people because it's so unique. And yeah, so there's a lot of opportunity to visually connect with people, even if it isn't necessarily through your photos. However, I do think your industry, professional photos are very important. Stock photos can help to an extent, but if you're, you know, showing what you've done for properties and the properties that you manage, showing how, you know, like well designed they are. Like ours, the one downstairs, my Airbnb is just like gorgeous. So much prettier than my house or anything else. And the pictures online, like,
that's how it should be.
Yeah. I mean, those are sales tools as well. So definitely, I think your photos are really important. But one of the cool things with visuals is you can have really flowy lines and give like a really relaxed feel, or you can have really straight boxy things, you know, and give a very classic feel. There's lots of different ways to go about it, but it definitely makes an impression or leaves an impression on your audience.
Want to know our best kept hosting secrets? They're all inside our STR must-haves master list, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host. The must-haves master list is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years. Picture this, your guest checks in to your short-term rental and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFE must-haves master list by your side. This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best host didn't know they were missing. We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.
So you mentioned this a little bit earlier, and I wanted to kind of pick up on it, that a co-hosting site and a co-hosting business, we actually have two audiences. We have the homeowners, which if that's our goal that we're trying to recruit, that's an audience. Mm-hmm. But then we're also trying to cater to guests to come and book reservations in our properties. So how do we decide, you know, what is our homepage? Should it be split down the middle? How do we handle what our website looks like?
That's a great question. I think you can definitely kind of split it. Once again, I do think going with your main business goal first is really important, because your homepage represents your business and kind of tells everyone what you do, but you can have other pages that you're going after a specific audience for. So like you have a page on your site all about the local graduations and Airbnbs near those schools that people can book for graduation. And that does really well. And so people who are searching to find an Airbnb for a graduation, like they find you that way. And a lot of them probably don't even ever go to your homepage. They go straight to your stays or your direct booking page to book. So just because it's not like both evenly split on your homepage, which I wouldn't evenly split it, I would go barely after your main business goal. So if it is to bring more people to your Airbnbs, really highlight the different stays and what they get with that. If it is to manage more properties, really focus on that. And then you can still have a section or two at the bottom that shares the other things. But definitely go with what's your primary business goal? What do you need to grow? And like for you, I feel like we transitioned, you know, we started because you needed properties. But then once you got a good amount of properties and you built up your SEO, you were easy to find online for that. Then we started to transition more to trying to get people to book directly and stay with you.
Yeah, focusing more on the guests. Yeah, I was going to use that as an example. We started with the homeowners. And I will tell you, every homeowner that we work with always starts off saying, your website is amazing. They love the website. It makes such a difference. So yes, Whitney is for sure a rock star. So what happens if our website is super successful? We have all of these leads coming in and they're not clients that we actually want to take. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips for how we could kind of weed out those clients that aren't aligned with us?
Yeah, definitely. So you're basically wanting to like pre-qualify them so you save yourself time and them time. Yes. So a lot of times you can even put a section on your page like, this is who we're perfect for. This is who, you know, we're not perfect for. So sometimes you'll see like almost those pros and cons sections. One of my favorite ways, I mean, just to get straight, cut straight to it, most of the time it's like a money, you know, do they have the money to do what we would need to do to make this an amazing Airbnb? Like that's kind of what defines if they're your ideal client or not. I could be wrong. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. That's one of the things. Yeah.
I would highly recommend put like a starting at cost. You don't have to list all of your prices, but give people an idea like, hey, this starts at this price range. And that way anyone underneath that, they're going to, you know, kind of self-eliminate, and that can save you a lot of time. So you don't have to list out all of your prices and everything, but having a, you know, services start at this price can be really helpful and help save time. And then once again, yeah, just saying who you're a good fit for, like if you have a niche, you know, diving into that, your target audience, really defining who you want to work for. And then also, you know, what your goals with the Airbnb would be. Like, do you only do luxury? Okay, so you're not going after an adventure junkie, you know, like,
right.
You know, really making it clear the type of Airbnbs you want to develop and work with.
That's great. And one of the things that you did and suggested, Whitney, was to put a form on our site. It was like a get started form. And you had me kind of write out the questions that I would want to know before taking on a client. So it's almost like I can pre-screen someone.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great way to do it. And even if you do end up taking them on, you have that much more information to go into that meeting so prepared, you know, and to make a really like good sale.
So the form you helped me create, it gives me the information. It comes as an email to me and I'm able to see all the information there. And then I reach out to a client. And from getting that information, I'm able to screen, and it's either like I can email them back and say, hey, at this time, we're currently, you know, looking for this type of property or this type owner, or if it's something that I'm interested in and seems to, you know, this could be a great fit, then it's something you know, where we can schedule a quick 15-minute call. And you actually helped me kind of think through that process, Whitney, which was so helpful in building my portfolio.
Oh, thanks. So glad.
So thinking of all of the co-hosts out there in different markets who don't yet have a website, mm-hmm. how do they start? How do they find the right person? Is this someone they should find locally? Is it okay to find someone outside of their market? What should they be looking for?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah. I mean, really, definitely, you can search for people who are local to you and you can view their portfolio and see if it's something that really aligns with what you like. If you can find someone who's already familiar with your industry and your needs, like needing to connect forms, collect emails, some of those things, that's always really helpful to have kind of that advantage and that knowledge already. I mean, you can work with people, I mean, with remote work after COVID, like you can work with people all over the United States. It's really what it'll probably come down to a lot of the time is like budget. And if you're first getting started, the company I used to work for and still work with very closely, they actually have a template that we designed for Amy. Like, because I was looking for one day and I was looking for templates. So that's a great way to get started. It's called StorySite and it already kind of has some of the information laid out and it's really helpful. And then if you need help designing it, they have tutorial videos that will walk you through all of it, or you can book them to design it for you. You can book me to design it for you. There's designers everywhere who will do it for you. But if you are starting, like, you know, just getting started and you don't have a big budget, which most websites now, if you're getting someone to design it from scratch, will really start around, I mean, even a small one is going to be around $5,000, which I know is a big commitment for a new business owner because I recently went off on my own.
Right.
I'm aware of like these big commitments. So honestly, starting with a template when you are just getting started, I think would be a really good way to go. If you already have had a website and it's just not really serving you well, that's a great time to upgrade. So it just kind of depends on where you are in the process. And when I was thinking upgrade, I think that's a good time to work with someone who will build a custom site that really meets your needs and works with the systems you already have in place to save you time and be efficient.
And they're going to come to you and know, they're going to find out, what do you need? They're going to ask you questions about your co-hosting business, mm-hmm. and you don't need to feel like you need to walk in knowing everything that you want on your site, right?
Right. And then I would ask them about like, what do you do for SEO? If you can find someone who builds some SEO into that, that's really important. Otherwise, you know, there are several video courses out there. I also offer one-off SEO services if you're on Squarespace, which I highly recommend. So yeah, I think once you get a website, if you can get them to include some basic SEO, that's fantastic. Otherwise, it's something that you can work on and kind of integrate yourself or hire someone separately to do moving forward. But you don't want to spend, you know, so much time and effort on a website that no one finds. And so definitely taking into account the SEO from the beginning is important to plan for.
How do you know if your website's even performing well?
Oh, that's a great question. So a lot of, depending on like what website builder you're using, which as you know, I'm a big fan of Squarespace, they actually show you analytics directly in the back end of your site, which is just very helpful. And you can connect that to something called Google Search Console. And it's very easy through Squarespace because they have it all connected. So you just like log in to your Google account. But basically, Google Search Console is a free tool by Google that tells you all of the keywords people are searching for and where you're ranking for each of those keywords, if you're ranking. It gives you a lot of insight of like how people are coming to your site, why they're coming to your site, and then you can build on that content. So that's really helpful.
So you mentioned Squarespace. Why do you feel Squarespace is perhaps better than what's the most popular one, WordPress?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So I personally love Squarespace because it's very easy to use. And I recommend it to a lot of business owners because you're wearing so many hats. You don't have time to spend all of your time on a website. And Squarespace is just so many built-in tools like forms that will email you immediately. They can, you know, create lists for your, you know, like collect emails for your newsletters and all of that for you. It's very easy to optimize for search and they have all of the resources you need to do it. So they just really, I mean, they built the whole platform with business owners in mind to make life easy for them, which is great. And WordPress is a really wonderful tool, but most small business owners or medium-sized business owners, they just don't need all of the stuff that WordPress can do. And they find that it's a difficult platform to navigate. Plugins break. You have to pay for them separately. Like sometimes they don't work well together. So if you add two plugins that don't work well together, they'll break. And you have to go figure out which ones are breaking each other. And so it's a lot of work. And back in the day, WordPress was definitely like the forerunner, but now they're very much tied. Like I actually was reading about a study yesterday where someone did like a test on Squarespace and WordPress, and there was no difference in Google, like the Google metrics that measured everything, no difference. So as far as like it making a big difference on your ranking, that really has more to do with the work you put into it than the platform you choose. So I'm a huge fan of Squarespace. They have this new editor called Fluid Engine that just you just drag and drop, and it's very intuitive. It's very similar to like using an iPhone. So it kind of, if you're familiar with iPhone, like it you can generally learn it pretty quickly. But then once again, like it integrates with your social media. So you can like pull your Instagram feed into the footer, and it just makes things very easy. So I'm a big fan.
That's great information.
You can also get Google Analytics, which is another free tool. It's very easy to set up and be easy to connect. Once again, it just depends on the builder you use. But yeah, that takes the next step. So Google Search Console will tell you how people get to your site. And then Google Analytics will tell you how people use your site once they're there. And that's really nice because that's gated content. Like other people can't see that. So only you can see that and learn from that. But then you can see like, hey, everyone's visiting my homepage, but they're not going to any other pages on my site. Well, am I making it easy for them to move to those other pages? Or you can see, this page has a really high drop-off rate. Like people just leave from it. Why is that? How can we enhance it to try and keep people on and keep them moving through our services? So those are two tools I love that are completely free and pretty easy to set up. Google's done a great job revamping it and making it pretty easy. They walk you through each step, and they've really gotten like simplified it so much from back in the day where it was just a nightmare.
They sound so accessible for us as hosts.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then
go ahead.
I was just gonna say another one of my favorite tools, if you're looking to create like blog content that's really relevant to your audience, is called Answer the Public. And what you do is you can just type in a couple keywords that you're interested or you think your audience is interested in. And they'll actually show you all of the questions people are asking based on like the amount of people who have asked it. And so you can use that to build a blog, like just pick six of the main questions that are all relevant to each other. And you have six sections in a blog, and you're really answering people's questions. And that's Google and all search engines' ultimate goal is to provide the best answer. So if you're providing really good answers, you're going to rise in Google and be easier to find.
It's all about serving people. And so what you just said, Answer the Public. Mm-hmm. Is it answerthepublic.com?
Yes.
And what are some of the things that we did on our site? What I'm trying to remember, like what were some of the things you plugged in?
It's been so long. I mean, I know we planned some of our blogs from it. So we planned the graduation blog for Liberty. And then I think you're going to do one for maybe Randolph College and some local colleges, and just based on their graduation and your Airbnbs that are near there, how far away they are.
That's what people were asking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we plugged in our city name and
graduation.
Airbnb, or even just Airbnb, I think. And then it came up with people asking about graduation weekend. And so seeing how important that was and how much it was getting asked online, mm-hmm. you were the one to say, Amy, you really should think about doing a blog. Yeah.
I was going to say, you also did one on best local hikes because that was hard to find. And that's one of your top performing blogs. Like you rank at the top. And that's great because even if it's not people planning their trip, if it's local people who find that blog and then learn about you in the bottom and learn about all of your properties, well, they probably have family and friends who come to visit. So that's a great way to help them get to know you and become more familiar with you and what you offer.
This has been amazing. And listeners who are considering co-hosting and those of you who are already doing it, I hope this was so helpful and chock full of good information for you, as much as Whitney's been a help for me. So Whitney, just real quick, if hosts want to connect with you, you mentioned you've got a template for a website. Where should people reach out and connect with you?
Absolutely. So my website is delaneyconsulting.co. And I actually have created a page for this podcast. So if you add TFV at the end, so delaneyconsulting.co/TFV, I'll include all of the different resources that we talked about today. So you can easily access those. And then that template that I mentioned for you, I have that. And then I am just starting an Instagram account. I am not much of a social media person, so there's nothing there yet, but there will be. I'm gearing up to launch that. And so that's Delaney Consulting Co.
Awesome. So everybody, let's go and follow Delaney Consulting Co. on Instagram as well to give Whitney some love. Well, thank you so much for joining us and for giving of your time and all of your wisdom, Whitney.
Thanks for having me. This is really fun.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.